Let's start off in a word of prayer today, and we will start talking. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this group of people. Thanks for bringing us here. Whether we're here because we're members, whether we're here because we're visitors, somehow we have all managed to find ourselves in the same space together to praise and worship you. Lord, I am humbled at how much you love us and how much you want us to know you. Lord, in you, in your words, in your way is life. It is life eternal. Lord, you said that we would know life if we knew you and the one that you have sent. Lord, today we talk about the one whom you have sent. We talk about the life that you have for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Help us to have eyes that are open and ears that are ready to hear. Help us to have a spirit that is willing to receive. We love you, and we ask for good things today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, if you're visiting, nothing may seem new to you because you're visiting, or old, changed. If you've been here for a while, you may see things are a little bit different. Christian told you a little bit about it. But today, we start our Faith and Family Summit. This is 6 weeks long, and I'm very excited about this. First of all, thank you, Christian and Ryan, for doing the sign. It is quite remarkable. And for Russell, for kind of organizing a lot of this. I tell you, we've got some talented, talented people here. I hope you know that. But before we begin, I wanted to show you a quick video. We'll be showing these videos that you're about to see throughout this series for the next 6 weeks. And the videos, they are about you. Because the Grapevine Church of Christ is filled with families. We each have a story to share. The stories are both beautiful and sometimes tragic, but the stories are what help us be who we are individually and as a church. So what I want to do is I want to start off with hearing one of these beautiful stories. Let's go ahead and play this video.
My name is Bob Hodges, and I've been in Grapevine all my life, except 3 years I had in the Army. I love the Church of Christ because Christ built a church. As we know, in Matthew 16, Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is God's body, and the body is a group of people who's been baptized into Christ. One thing, I love it because of the people. That the people here wants everyone to be saved, and the people here cares for everyone. I was a deacon for a good long while, but I try to visit now and try to be like he wants me to be. I know I make mistakes, but I try to live up to what he would like for me to. I'm Bob Hodges, and I'm giving my life to, and I'm living my life for Jesus Christ.
It's a privilege to know you, sir, and you are one of the patriarchs of our family here. And this is why I wanted to start with Bob, because I tell you, we have so many of these stories within these walls. It's just fantastic. And as I said before, we're going to be having more of these in the coming weeks, but thank you. Privileged to know you. I'm privileged to know each one of you here this morning. As I said before, we're beginning 2015 with a focus on family. Now, whether you're a family of one or a family of 10, we hope that this summit helps equip you to be someone who lives a life of faith, hope, and love, and inside these walls and outside these walls too. See, Shelley and I, we have a heart for people, and I think at the core of it, we have a heart because we know that regardless of who you are, you're probably struggling in some way, shape, or form. You know, at some level, don't we all struggle? It doesn't matter if we're young or old or rich or poor, married, unmarried, conservative, liberal, we all struggle. We struggle in our careers, we struggle in our marriages, we struggle as parents, as friends, we struggle as children. So the question I'm asking myself is, how can we help the people at Grapevine Church of Christ through the struggle? How can we help build families that are safe? Families that are intentional about following Jesus Christ. And I know that sometimes we look at other people, other families, whether we know them or whether we know of them, and we think to ourselves, if only we were more like them, then everything would be better. Have you thought that? When you're driving into the church parking lot a few minutes late and you're irritated because your spouse was not ready on time and your son spilled milk on his pants right before you walked out and you are irritated because, well, you've just been in a huge argument about something that you accidentally said last night that you probably shouldn't have said, and you don't really remember exactly what it was, but you're embarrassed and you're sorry, but there's no way you can say that. And so as you're having this argument, you drive into the parking lot, and there is Mr. and Ms. Perfect getting out of their car with their two well-dressed children, and you're just trying to get out of your car, and you're kind of irritated because you realize your son has somehow managed to leave the house without one of his shoes. And you think to yourself, what is a healthy family? Because honestly, right now, I don't think we are that. And you think to yourself on a deeper level, are we really even spiritual at this point, or are we just trying to survive? It's funny. We've been there. We've been to that moment where, you know, when you get into church, everything's fine, but you know that there's something else going on underneath the line of sight. And I have looked at other people and said, man, they have got it all together. What does a healthy spiritual family even look like anymore? In fact, what kind of healthy family models do we have to model our life after? What is our culture showing us about families? Now, we all know what happened in the 50s. We saw television. We saw, see, the Cleavers. You know, we saw the Nelsons, right? Ozzie and Harriet. We saw the Bradys. Those were pretty good models of what it meant to be a family, right? So let's look at since the 70s. See if you can name them. Just shout them out if you know who these are. Who these famous families are. Ready? What'd you say? Banks? Okay, good job. Banks, you know what show it is? Fresh Prince, okay, it's been on a long time ago. Okay, here we go. Is the next one? The Bunkers, one of the most stable and healthy families of the 70s. Here's another one. What's the name of the family? The Duncans, that's right. Christian was like, who are these people? And Russell's like, you don't have an 8-year-old girl, so you have no idea. That's Good Luck Charlie on Disney Channel. Okay, who's this right here? The Jeffersons. There you go. And I think we've got one more. That is a 26-year-old family right there. Can you believe they've been on for 26 years? I think that this family has actually influenced our culture in more ways than we want to admit. We get a lot of images about what it means to be a family these days, don't we? From television and from movies, and I'm here to tell you that it's not always 100% correct. Dads are not always dumb, by the way, no matter what you think. Moms are not always overbearing. I don't know about your home. It could be. Brothers are not always as mean as they are on television, and sisters aren't always as sneaky as they are on television. I mean, granted, some of us probably have families like that. But for the most part, television is not a true representation of what it means to be a healthy family. If you want to see what a real family looks like, what a healthy family looks like, let's forget healthy. If you want to see what a real family looks like, look around you. You've got families of one, unmarried, you've got families of a lot more than that. We aren't all on the same stage of life. And as a family, I don't mean someone who has kids. I mean, some of us don't have kids. Some of us aren't even married. Some of us have kids who have left home. And by family, for our conversation this next 3 weeks, when I say the word family, I don't necessarily mean your biological family, because some of you may not be living with them. What I mean is those that place where you find yourself a majority of the time, your sphere of influence. Some of us may have people we consider family. They may be close friends, they may be close coworkers, or they may be coworkers who irritate you, but you are there and you can't get away. This is your family, your sphere of influence. And when it comes to living out your faith, when it comes to having a home or family that is safe and intentional, where are you? Are you struggling? Probably, because we are too. At any given moment. Maybe you have this idea of what it is you want to be, but you aren't really sure how to get there. This is what this next few weeks are all about. See, I firmly believe that faith begins at home. It doesn't necessarily begin inside these walls. It is something that is continued and encouraged and fostered here. See, people can make a public confession of faith. They can confess their sin. They can repent. They can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But by the faith that I'm talking about, they will incorporate that faith into their lives throughout the week. This is the model that's written about in Deuteronomy 6. Now, I know I sound like a broken record whenever I talk about this passage. I've mentioned it a lot, but I'm going to mention it again because it speaks directly to what we're talking about today. Let's read this. Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Faith in God is realized through a lifestyle, through living it out each and every day. It's not simply within this hour on a Sunday. The home is crucial to our faith development. Our homes are not optional. I mean, whatever else happens in our lives, we typically have a place to call home and a family to go to, typically. But when it comes to church, sometimes we consider church optional. In fact, here are some statistics. This is interesting. There are a lot of stats about religion and the decline of church in America. And a lot, these are just polls, okay? But I understand at any given moment, a poll is 50% correct, right? But this is what I'm going to say, is that this poll kind of got my attention. This is from Gallup. It was done a few years ago. And it says, 32% of Americans claim to be non-religious. Which is good, because that means 68% of us are good religious people. Not really. About one-third of Americans now report that they seldom or ever go to a religious house of worship. 68% say that they occasionally attend service, but I've learned in these polls that people always speak to what they want to do. You know, whenever they say, well, we go because we want to go, and if we want to go bad enough, then it's like we went. You know, according to studies of people's actual behavior, less than 25% of Americans go to church more than 2 times a month. That means 75% of Americans on any given Sunday aren't attending church at all. And our culture's changing in America. Christianity doesn't seem to require church attendance. And there are some startling statistics about one of these big dropout groups. These are 18 to 29-year-olds. You hear this. The survey, you know, these 18 to 29-year-olds are leaving the church. Where are they going? Well, I don't know where they're going or how accurate this is, but this statement got my attention. It says this, one particular response says, "I have not lost faith in Christ, but I have lost faith in the church." As they start looking through these statistics, what they've learned is that from these 18 to 29-year-olds, they believe that the Christianity is hypocritical because the Christianity and the faith that they saw practiced at home was different than the faith and Christianity that they saw practiced at church. What they experienced when it came to faith and Christianity was something that was only done at church and not at home. I mean, isn't this our struggle? Wherever we are, at work, on the golf course, we're out with friends, vacation, how are we going to be Jesus? But there's more. From Barna Research, it says this about churched families. It says, in a typical week, fewer than 10% of parents regularly attend church with their kids. Who regularly attend church with their kids? These are church people. Fewer than 10% of them read the Bible together with their children or their family, pray together other than at mealtimes, or participate in an act of service as a family unit. And even fewer, one out of every 20, have any type of worship experience together with their kids other than while they're at church in a typical month. Let that sink in for a moment. The study was done from a vast cross-section of church people, cross-denominations, across the country, around 400,000, I think. And I want to think that our church is better than this, but I'm not naive enough to think that we are any different. If we are, you know, we're probably better than some, maybe not as good as some, but we still have work to do, I'm sure. So the question that we're asking in this Faith and Family Summit becomes more and more urgent to answer. How can we be a people who have a genuine faith? How can we be families who are faithful? How can we be a group of people who don't treat Sunday morning as the only time we can engage in spiritual conversation or actions or service, but how can we be a people who model a lifestyle of faith 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Deuteronomy 6 talks about this and talks about lifestyle around conversation and interest and attention. And in verse 6, something is interesting. It says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. So this truth, this faith needs to be in you, in me, before it can ever be in anyone we hope to influence. And I think that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Influence. Do we realize how much influence we have on our friends, on our family, on our coworkers? As we try to follow the words of Matthew chapter 5, whenever it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is hard. It's even hard today because I know some of us are very used to coming into church and it being a certain way, and then everything kind of gets disrupted. How can we let our light shine in the midst of this chaos this morning? How can we let our light shine in the midst of our week when things don't go our way? It's hard. It's a struggle. But when we think about our influence, the light that is in us is influential. Our lives are influential, good or bad. In fact, it's my belief that more people come to faith in Jesus Christ, not by some earth-shattering experience, but by seeing someone live out their faith in a genuine and authentic way, which leads me to believe that this statement is true. Faith cannot be taught. It has to be caught. I used to think, yeah, faith can be taught, but I don't know about that anymore. Our world is full of information, but it's not quite as full of relationship. So if this is true, if this is true right here, and I'm speaking to myself, by the way, because I struggle a lot too. How are we living out our faith? How are we loving? How are we serving each other? And how are we growing? And a deeper question is, are we intentional about learning? About teaching others, about really spending time and investing with our kids, our friends, or are we letting someone else do all the work? I mean, think about it. In our culture, we outsource just about everything, don't we? Our lawns, we outsource our housekeeping, even if it's just once a month. We outsource our food a lot of times. We outsource our medical care. Of course, we probably need to do that. We outsource everything. And I think in a way, we also outsource our spirituality. We outsource because we don't have time, we don't think we're good enough at it, or maybe because we would rather really be doing something else. When I thought about this, I was thinking, am I outsourcing my spirituality to my church? Am I outsourcing the faith of my children? Am I outsourcing that to their ministers, to their teachers? Are we relying on me to be your sole source of faith development? Lord, help us. Are we relying on the ministers to be your sole source of faith development? Are we relying, if we have kids, are we relying on our children's minister to be their sole source of faith, development, and learning? Where are we in our faith? And how is our family or our kids or even our sphere of influence, how are they going to catch their faith? I know that some people say that we aren't that spiritual of a family. You know, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to have a devotion with our kids or a Bible study. And in fact, some people I've heard say, I don't even know how to teach the Bible to my kids. And frankly, I'm still trying to understand it myself. You know, let me encourage you. Living out your faith is not dependent on how much you know or how much you think you know. It's not dependent on home Bible studies in that particular way or these devotions that are happening at 4:30 a.m. every morning. It's not about that necessarily. Because we're all different. We're all in different stages of our life. Because it's not about fitting into a mold. It's not about bringing God up in a conversation. It is about having God be the conversation. What would that look like? What would it look like to have God be your conversation? To let God influence others through you. I'm going to encourage us to not outsource the responsibility God has given us. I'm going to encourage us to be intentional and courageous about what we believe and why. Live it out every day because we are around our families. We are around our sphere of influence a whole lot more than we are around here. Now, growing up, I was in church more than the average person. I was there every time the doors were open. I was even there on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, all the special revivals and gospel meetings, you name it. I was there because my parents were there. And I considered myself, you know, a more than average church person. So I started thinking to myself, how much influence does the church have on me? Has the church had on me? So I started doing some math. Okay, the church is influential. It is, and it is the last best hope for the world. I firmly believe that. But how much influence does the church have in our normal everyday life? So let's break it down. I did some math, okay? So I'm going to assume that you're at church at least 1 hour every Sunday. In fact, let's just say I'll give you a couple extra hours, okay, just in case you do a life group or a Sunday night. It's occasional times you're at the lake house or this or that. But I'm going to say that you've been here for about 64 hours every year, okay? And I have got it modeled out. I wanted to do a half gallon because 64 ounces is a half gallon. So just imagine half of this or just halfway filled. So this right here is the church's influence. Okay, this is how often we were at church. 64 hours, give or take, every year. And if you're like me, it's probably 128, right? Twice, 2 hours plus a day. So this is the church's influence. Now this is packed with a lot. This has got a lot of this is condensed. Right? It's like, you know, there's a lot more in here than meets the eye, but this is it. Now, started thinking about how much influence we have at our home, how much influence we have over our children or those that are around us. So what I did is some math. I started thinking, okay, I'm gonna take out the time that we sleep. I'm going to take out the time that we work, because usually we're either, and if you fit into one of those, that could be your time where you're with your family. So there's 8,200 or 8,000 something, 8,760 hours in a year. And so I took out nighttime and I took out daytime work. And then what I did was I added vacation, nights, weekends, holidays that you're with your family. So I need my volunteers. Where are my volunteers? Okay, what I need you to do is go in there. Mr. Russell's going to help you. And I want you to bring out some of these things that are all lined up there. And we're going to see how much, just right in through that door, how much influence we have in our home and around our sphere of influence. And we're just going to have them line this up. I think it ends up being around 2,900 to 3,000 hours. So let's just say 1 ounce is 1 hour. Okay, so let's go ahead and bring these up. We're going to line these all up right over here. Here, I'll help you. Thank you. That's okay. It's all right. Thank you, sir. Let's have a hand for all of our volunteers. You go. Thank you, sir. You got it? All right, here you go. Go ahead and keep it going. I think there's more coming, right? Okay, are they coming? All right, thanks. Going. Appreciate it, buddy. Did you just? Thanks, man. Yeah, it's pretty high up there, isn't it? Okay. Let's see what we got here. Do we have any more back there? You got it. There you go. Okay, so let's see what we have. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 23. That's actually, we need one. That's it. That's it. Okay. So here we go. This is the influence we have. A church. This is the influence church has on you, on your children. So if you are one of these people who's outsourcing their spiritual faith development, you want your children to know God and to be known by God, this is where your influence is, half of this. And the rest is what we have together. Now, like I said, this is condensed. And imagine, take this away. I tell you, I know it looks a little awkward. But when you think about influence, who has more influence on their family? Faith has to be caught. We cannot just rely on our Sunday experience to raise people and to have a family that is loving, serving, and growing. It's a matter of influence, really. So this is why we are doing this next 6 weeks. We want to be able to equip you with the skills that you need to live out your each and every day. You're walking around, working, eating, breathing, drinking life. We want to help equip you to live that in the name of Jesus Christ. Boldly and courageously. Russell, come on up, Bubba. I'm going to have Russell come up. He's going to tell us a little bit more about what we're about to experience this next few weeks. Now, you have a handout and you have things like that, but I want to hear it straight from Russell. We have been talking about this for a while, and he's come up with some great ideas. So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about what's coming.
Okay. You all got a handout, and please look at that over the next 6 weeks. We're really excited about all of our teachers and what they'll be teaching. And as Scott said, we're hoping to equip you and empower you, both parents and grandparents, in this time. And so as you see, we're going to have many different classes. We're going to have classes on finding peace in our life, which is incredibly important. We're going to have classes on how to read Scripture with your kids. I know parents, that is incredibly important to us, but grandparents, you also have your grandkids a lot of times. It is important for how you read Scripture to your kids and to your grandkids. We're going to have classes on faith and doubt. One of the hardest things as our kids get older, and even as we get older, is how do we handle doubt? How do we handle when our kids doubt? And so we're going to have a class on that.
Even how do you handle whenever one of your coworkers comes up and says, I don't believe that. Or right. They're having a faith struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is a good conversation. These are all going to be conversations. We're going to have a class about the unexpected family. And this one was important to me. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the Birchfields will be teaching that. But this will be a class based on, how do you handle life with God when God seems to throw you a curveball in your family? When you expected to have this many kids and you don't have any, or you expected to have four kids and you only have one. How do we handle that kind of family life and to understand it and move on? And so we're going to be having that class as well, along with, as you can read in here, many different ones, how to handle technology and what that's going to look like. Technology is one of the hardest things for us to figure out. Most of us are on our phones or iPads right now. And our kids at age 3 can use our iPhones better than us. How do we handle that? How do we incorporate technology without it becoming the monster that we're afraid it can be?
So how do we utilize it rather than it using us?
Right. And so we're really excited about this. We have one class on serving. How do we help our families become families of service? To where we look out instead of just for ourselves, how do we look out for other people? And how do we create that culture inside of our family? These are, I think, important questions. I do not think we'll have all the answers, but I do believe that over the next 6 weeks we'll have really good conversations in which I believe that our families will be empowered just a little bit more to understand the amount of influence that you have on the people around you and on your kids and on your grandkids. This is an important topic, and this is the way I think we should start off this year. And so I'm really excited about it. I hope you are too.
The thing I like about what Russell has done is that he's not outsourced this. Well, he kind of has, but it's to families teaching the content.
Right.
You know, we're not all good at everything, but some of us are good at some things. And so each one of our classes is taught by families who have something to say. I mean, they're still struggling just like the rest of us, but about that particular content, that subject, they've got some things to say.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's a whole lot better than just getting some guy with a PhD at the end of his name who can come up here and say, this is how, through all my studies, you should do it. And instead, we have people who you sit next with, who you sit next to on Sunday mornings, who your kids are friends with, and these are people that we know. These are people who are going through the same things we go through, and they're able to get in front of us and say, you know what, here's the best way we found to do it, and this is how we think it has worked in our family, and maybe it can work in yours. And that's really important, I think, to hear it from people that we know and trust, more than somebody who Scott or I could get to come up here and basically tell you how to do it. So, yeah, everybody who's teaching a class, I did outsource that. Everyone who's teaching a class is someone we know.
Okay, so these are going to be classes that are probably 2 weeks long. And they're going to be rotating. What if I don't get a chance to hit every class?
If you don't, that's all right, because we also are recording every class. Every class that we have over the next 6 weeks, we're recording. And then we're going to give it all to Ross and make him make it into a really nice video library. We also can go to, we'll probably have it up on our website as well, in which if you've gone to our website, if you haven't gone to our website, we do have a website, grapevinechurch.com, and it's fantastic. But we have links to the website where if you lose this, you can get this and look for the next week what class you want to go to. And also as we move forward, hopefully have either the audio parts of the classes up on the website as well, but we hope to have just a compilation of all these classes so that you can have those with you if you didn't get to any of the classes that you wanted to go to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ron. You know, Ross and Russell, you've got a great staff here, by the way, and very talented, exceptional people here. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. Now, what am I going to be talking about? Well, as we're talking about our family and our home, one thing that really hits me is that some of us would like to be better. Some of us need to figure out how we can kind of rest and find that little space where, you know, we can function well. So maybe we need to be not so much starting over, but maybe we need to be looking at our foundation. You know, what is our foundation? What is that? Maybe we need some foundation repair. Maybe we need to renovate our home. Maybe we need to remodel. So that's going to be fun. You know, what does it mean to speak life into your family? What does it mean to bless others? We're going to talk about this idea of blessing and being a blessing. There's lots of neat things coming up, but it's all going to be centered around how our families can love, serve, grow, and have God as the conversation. So let's all stand up really quickly. We're going to say this one passage together as we end, and we're going to read this all together. I know it's a lot, but I want us to read this as a family, as friends, as visitors. Let's read this as one voice, people who are ready for God to do some good work. Are you ready? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I pray that God blesses you this week, not only with good things, but with good conversation as well. May He reign and live and shine through you wherever you find yourself this week. And may your language be language of life. May your homes be homes of love and faith. And may your future be one of eternal love.